What we're about to engage in is an understanding of two, we could call them useful fictions, but they're not really fictional, they're formalities. That is, two very interesting formalities that can take the place of an Erev. Somebody is not, Mordechai, please mute yourself. So those two formalities are the din of Bitul Rishos, which means that if somebody forgot to make an Erev, that he is able, if he's Jewish anyway, he is able to be mevatel his rights formally, and thereby the other people will be allowed to carry, and he would be considered to be like a guest in that chotzer. He can't carry from his own house because that would be a reassertion of the fact that he isn't really a guest, but he's otherwise treated like a guest in the chotzer. The other formality is in the case of a goy. Now, remember that the reason that we locked out the goy from the ability to be mevatel rishus is simply because one of the issues that we wanted to achieve with the din of the goy in a chotzer is to make it unpleasant for Jews to live with a goy in a chotzer because we're afraid that they will end up being mushpa. They're going to learn from his behavior, and he might even, chas v'shalom, own a TV, and the kids might go in and watch TV. You never know what terrible things might happen. And so because of that, we wanted to make it rough, so we didn't allow him to join an Erev, and we didn't allow him to be mevatel rishus. The only thing that you could do, if you have a goy in your chatzir, and you're more than one Jew, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov, or even just one Jew, according to Rabbi Meir, would be you'd have to rent the property from him, and since he would be reluctant to rent it, because of that, it'll end up that you're not going to be able to carry in your own chotzer, it's going to be unpleasant, you'll move out, and in the end, we're going to end up with segregated housing, which is what we want. Except we can't say we want it. So, okay. So this is the way that we achieve it. So it means that we actually have three possibilities. Joining an Erev, being mevatel rishus, or renting out your rishus. Now, the question that we had yesterday came up in a very concrete case. It was a case of a hotel, actually a motel, where there were various Jews that were living in the different units of renting in the various units in the motel for Shabbos. Each unit had its own exit to the parking lot, which was the chotzer. And the shaila is, according to one pshat and Rashi, they made an Erev. According to another, they didn't make an Erev. We'll see that it doesn't really matter very much, as I'll explain in a moment, to the actual end of the case. And what happened was that the owner, who was a goy, who had been absent before Shabbos, shows up in the middle of Shabbos. And so now they have a goy that wrecks the Erev if they made an Erev. And that certainly makes it harder for them to establish doing anything on Shabbos in any of it. So, questions like this. They wanted to know, and they discussed with each other, do you think that if we would go ahead, we could rent from the goy on Shabbos? And by the way, you're not allowed to rent on Shabbos, right? But when it comes to this idea, as I said, it's more of a useful fiction than a reality. So as Tosafot says, it's sort of like a matana bi'alma. There's nothing inherently that Rabbanan assert about rental in this fashion. I mean, there's nothing particular that would violate Shabbos. You just tell the guy, listen, you know, we'll give you a half a cent, because remember, it could be a chatzi pruta also. It's not even monetary in terms of the Jew. After Shabbos, you know, is it okay if we put our stuff in the chatzi? Big deal. All right. So the question that was raised was, the guy arrived on Shabbos. They realize that the weather is beautiful. They want to make a picnic out in the parking lot. And now they can't figure out how to do it. So if they had an Erev before Shabbos, if it hadn't been that the goy had come back, they could have just took out their stuff, their parking lot. Now that the goy came back, the way that we understand it is that once the goy came back, the Erev is batel. Now Tosfos asks, why is the Erev batel any more than the case that we had earlier about two ships that originally had been tied together? They had made an Erev between the two ships so they could actually carry from one to the other. And then they became untied in a storm in Shabbos. And then they retied them. And the Gemara said before, way back towards the beginning in the Masechet, the Gemara said, once they're retied, so then the Erev is reconstituted. So, I mean, once they would rent from the goy, would the Erev not be reconstituted, Tosfos? And he says, no. It would not be reconstituted because the ship, the Erev, was meant to be there. If it hadn't been for the storm, it was meant to be there the whole day. Mashenkein over here, being as it turns out The heir of the owner's only made at the beginning with the understanding that the owner, it's only good until the owner shows up. If the owner shows up, then they're messed up. So then it wasn't really meant to be an erev that would last the whole day. And once we're mevatel, the erev, we can't reconstitute it on Shabbos. Okay. So that issue, they don't have an erev. So what good would it do for them to rent from the goy? If anyway they're going to aser on each other, what good is the rental from the goy going to do them? It's not going to help. So there is where the issue comes up. This is an interesting case because the only way that they would actually be able to, I can't get the sun out of my eyes here. Just one second. I'll have to lower the truth. Sorry. So therefore, we end up with an interesting case because this case is going to require both of those so-called useful fictions. We're going to need to rent from the goy on the one hand, and after we rent from the goy, we're still going to have to be mevatel all of our rishus to one of the guys, say the guy who rented, and then he at least will be able to carry the cholent out into the parking lot and we can all go out there and eat. But nobody else will be able to go carry out the cholent because the rest of us need an eruv. So we need it to be mevatel our rishus to that one guy. So that means in this particular case, the only way to work things out is to use both the rental from the goy and the bittul of the rishus one to another. So that was the situation. That's the background to today's daf. All of the issues of today's daf revolve around this problem. So they said, okay, you know what? We're going to go ahead and we're going to do it. And then we'll find out whether we did the right thing after Shabbos. And they indeed, they asked Rabbi Yochanan what to do. And Rabbi Yochanan said, yeah, it's a good thing you did the right thing. You rented it. You were mevatel rishus. Everybody's happy. And we can live happily ever after eating our cholent out in the parking lot for the rest of Shabbos. Okay. So now, I actually had a story like this. And I was with my grandfather, the Rosh Yeshiva. We were on our way on this trip. This was like 60 years ago. And I was driving from Baltimore to Montreal. So we had to stop in this place over Shabbos. Anyway, so he was all concerned about what's going to be. It was also another issue. You weren't allowed to have a cholent in your room. So you weren't allowed to cook in the room. Anyway, so I'm very nervous about what's going on. And of course, the Rosh Yeshiva, he loved to walk around on Shabbos. And his tendency was to speak to anybody that he met and to share with them and so on. Okay, so Shabbos morning, I look out of the window. And there he is talking to the owner of the hotel. I'm thinking, oh, my God, what's going to be now? He's going to tell him about the cholent and find out whether he can move the cholent outside. And who knows what kind of issue we're going to have over here about eating outdoors. To my horror, he actually brings the hotel owner into the room. This is awful. But, of course, it turned out that the guy was a Jew, and he was very happy there was a cholent there and that we could eat cholent. And it's in the middle of nowhere. But, okay, so the case of the malon and the cholent is close to my heart. And now the shaila was like this. Now, let me explain what the issues are that are involved over here. The way that the Gemara defined the issues before were how do we view? We have two very extreme cases. One case is the case of making an Erev, which is the fundamental tikkun. Then we have this other tikkun of being mevatel rishus in an emergency. The bittul rishus can be done anytime during Shabbos. The making of an Erev obviously can only be done before Shabbos. That's the whole point because it's koveya, your makom shvisa, correct? How about this other thing? The rental from the goy. How do we compare that? Do we compare that to making an Erev, in which case it would have to be done before Shabbos? Or do we compare it to be mevatel rishus and therefore it would be the equivalent of something that could be done by a Jew on Shabbos, so we could do this with the goy also on Shabbos? That was the question that they raised, and they weren't sure about. And Rabbi Yochanan said they did the right thing. And you can understand the two sides of the issue, because, I mean, on the surface, obviously rental seems similar to bittul, and therefore it should be able to be done on during the day. However, when you look into it, the case of Mogir Rishus is that which allows the Erev to take place in the first place. And because of that, it's very possible that since the whole takana was that the only way to make an Erev if there's a goy in this rishus is to be mogi rishus, then it has to be done the same way the Erev itself would be done. It has to be done before Shabbos. Those were the two sides. Now, apparently Rabbi Yochanan, in telling them you did the right thing, he was saying that when you make a rental, it's the same as being mevatel rishus. Fine. We're going to discuss that question because there's a lot of different issues that are associated with it, as we'll see. There's four different elements that have to do with the rental. We're going to discuss those four elements today. Then there's another issue over here. The other issue is the question of where you are allowed to be mevatel rishus. So the question is, the bitul rishus, is this an emergency measure? If it's an emergency measure, what it means is that if you ended up in a really tough spot where you cannot get out of your house with anything on Shabbos, so being in that tough spot, the Chachomim gave you a way out, which is to have the guy who wasn't Mishtatev be mevatel his rishus to you. If that's the case, if it's an emergency measure, then we have to decide what constitutes an emergency. Now, let me give you an example of different kind of situations, and you can see that there is a spectrum of where it might be acceptable to be mevatel rishus and where it might not be. For instance, suppose you've got two chatzerot, one next to the other. There's a door between them, and each one of those chatzerot has their own private exit to Rishus HaRabim. In the middle of Shabbos, they decide that they would actually like to carry the cholent into the next door chatzer. Now, they each have a chatzer on their own. There's certainly no emergency just because they decided that they want to join the next chatzer and make a joint cholent this week. How about if they actually made an Erev with that chatzer? And remember that one chatzer making an Erev with another chatzer is done in the following way. The first chatzer to make an Erev between themselves takes that Erev and puts it into the other chatzer, thereby causing the people in that chatzer to become part of their Erev. They don't make a separate Erev with each person in that chatzer. So let's assume that they made an Erev in that chatzer before Shabbos, and it turns out that one of the people forgot to join. Now, you have to ask yourself, if one of the people forgot to join, if it would be one of the people in the outside chatzer. Now, this is a case where I can't get out of my chatzer unless I walk through your chatzer. That's an entirely different situation than a case where we've got two chatzeros, each one of them has their own exit, right? Now, in this case, we could look at it as an emergency. I mean, I need to walk out of my house. I need to be able to walk through the other chatzer. But how about if the inside chatzer is capable of carrying in the inside chatzer all on their own, and they could have a cholent in common in the chatzer, in the nice weather and so on, but they would like to continue to go and to carry through the other chatzer too. So is fixing things by the one guy who left himself out of the Erev, is that in the outside chatzer, is that an emergency? Or is that like just sort of an extension of rights which we've been able to do without at times in the past? So we do have our own chatzer. Now that's sort of another situation. On the other hand, if one of the inside guys would have forgotten, then they can't even carry out to their own inside chatzer. So then if that inside guy would be mevatel his rishus, could he be mevatel it also to the people in the other chatzer, restoring the joint Erev between the two chatzeros? As you can see, that's an interesting midway case where it's an emergency for us, but it's not an emergency for them. They can still go in and out and so on. That's a different case. Let's imagine another situation. I'm in a chatzer that has a doorway into a churva. And another guy is in a chutz, has got a doorway to a churva on the other side. Now, we'd both like the kids to go and play out in this churva, and we'd like to carry out the toys for them there, and so on and so forth. Note that this is actually the way the churva was in the old city before they rebuilt it. It's exactly like that. And so the question is, if we don't have a Erev between us, so then each one of us is going to asra on the other one, because we've got people from two chatzeros coming into this churva. Is being mevatel the rishus of one chatzer to the other and saying, okay, so you know what? Your kids can carry out their toys, you know, and that way it's very kind, and I'll be mevatel. Is that an emergency? Or is that, again, is that just an extension? I mean, we do have a chutzner. We would just like to have this additional area to play in. It's another question. So all of these issues as to where exactly we instituted the idea of being mevatel rishus, we need to take up. And the other issue that we need to consider is, was the takona of being mevatel rishus made only in areas where there were options to make an eruv? So if you made an eruv or could have made an eruv and somebody left out, there it's an emergency. But if you couldn't have made an eruv anyway, like the case over here, where the goy was there, you couldn't have made an eruv at that time. The goy wasn't present before Shabbos. So would that be considered to be an emergency? And therefore it's okay? Or do we say, what's the difference if it's an emergency? The point is, you never were in a space where we had made that takana because Erevin was not part of the takana of where you were. Again, fascinating questions, all of which we're going to be looking into today. And the daf is dedicated to getting to the bottom of all of the different rules that will clarify for us what bittul rishus means, how it works, where it was instituted, and under what circumstances it was instituted. So we started off with this case. And the last words that we learned yesterday was Rabbi Yochanan said, you guys did the right thing, and you were socher, and that's exactly what you should have done. That's where we were up to on the first line of Daf Samach Vav, Omud Aleph. So now, having heard that psak from Rabbi Yochanan, the people in Narda were very shocked. And they said it doesn't make sense for Rabbi Yochanan to say this, because the point of the psak is to say that somebody who's renting from a goy is similar to a guy who's being mevatel rishus, because Rabbi Yochanan said you did the right thing in renting from him in the middle of Shabbos. You can't rent from him in the middle of Shabbos if renting is similar to making an Erev, right? Because the Erev would have to be done from before Shabbos. So if Rabbi Yochanan said this, he was saying that a socher is not like a ma'arev. A socher is like a mevatel rishus. Problem is, say the Nardoi, that Rabbi Yochanan himself had already said a general rule. Namely, the din of a socher is exactly the same as a din of ma'arev. Oh my God. That's the exact opposite of this. Answers the Gemara, there are four different issues that are involved. Three of them are kulas. One of them is a chumra. So if you're going to tell me that a socher is like a ma'arev, you can't rent from a goy in the middle of Shabbos. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Rabbi Yochanan meant the three ideas that are kulas. What are those kulas? Okay. A, kula number one is, you don't need a shava pruta for an eruv. You don't need a shava pruta from renting a rishus with a goy. B, as we had before, even an itinerant picker can join the Erev for the goy. The same thing is true when it comes to renting out the house of the goy. Even an itinerant picker can rent out the rights. Three, just like when it comes to an Erev originally, if you've got one person who goes ahead and takes the Erev into the other chutzner, he joins the adjoining chutzner into your Erev by transferring the Erev as a shliach for all of you, and you don't have to do that for every single person. The same thing is true when it comes to renting the rishus from a goy. It's enough for one of the guys to go ahead and rent it, and that way everyone, all of the Jews in the chutzner that make the Erev, they're all able to utilize that Erev, even though they didn't each and every one of them go over and rent it from the goy. So three out of four cases are lakula. In those three out of four cases, indeed, Rabbi Yochanan paskins that the idea is the same as making an Erev. But if you're going to tell me, oh, so you can't make it on Shabbos because you can't make an Erev, no. That fourth din, a socher, has the din of a mevatel rishus. Okay. Now, Rabbi Elazar was still very confused by Rabbi Yochanan's psak. So Rabbi Zera said, I don't understand. What's there to be confused about? It seems very straightforward to me. And Rabbi Shesha says, come on. That's very disingenuous. How is it possible that you don't understand what's, but you know perfectly well what's bothering everybody? What's bothering Rabbi Elazar is that Rabbi Elazar is very well aware of the important rules that Shmuel laid down. And Shmuel was his rabbi. And Shmuel laid down three ironclad rules for how to know when you can apply the din of bittul rishos. And the problem over here is, forget about the rental from the guy. That's not what I've got a problem with. I've got a problem for bittul rishos in the case of the rental, which I pointed out to you. This is the one case that we've had in which both issues needed to be done simultaneously, not simultaneously, but needed both to be done. We needed both to rent from the goy, and then we needed to be mevatel rishus, one Jew to the other, to one person who had rented from the goy. Okay. So here's Shmuel's three fundamental rules of bittul rishus. A, wherever you are going to aser somebody if you don't have an Erev, and you also could make an Erev, then if someone left out the Erev, he's allowed to be mevatel rishus. Fine. Very straightforward. Standard case. How about if theoretically you could have joined an Erev, but if you don't join the Erev, you don't aser other people, and somebody didn't join the Erev, then you cannot be mevatel rishus. How about in a case where you aser, but you're not privileged to join in an Erev? You also cannot be mevatel rishus. Now let's analyze those three rules and see how they apply to the case that we have over here. So now, Reb Sheshes starts explaining what the meaning of these three rules are, and he's going to give us an example of each one of the three rules. So let's take the first rule. First rule is, if you aser on other people and theoretically could have made an Erev, then you can be mevatel rishus. Okay? Okay. I'll give you the case. You've got one chatzer inside of the other chatzer. So if I'm going to carry through your chatzer to get out to the mavoi at the Rishus HaRabim, I'm going to aser you. And since I have access to your chatzer, we theoretically can make an Erev. I forgot to make an Erev, or one of us forgot to make an Erev. So that would be a classic case that since I aser on you, and by the way, I'm sure you're thinking, wait a second, isn't that part of the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim? About whether drisat haregel, the fact that I walk through your chutzer, asers you. Let me remind you, gentlemen, that the din of drisat haregel is a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim only where it's a regel that is muteret bimkoma. So the inner chutzer made an erev for themselves that would allow them to carry within their own chutzer. Now they're walking through the other guy's chutzer. There, the Chachamim say, well, that's okay. They're only walking through. Drisus HaRegel of people who themselves have their own place is not going to aser them. But the Chachamim are made that Rabbi Akiva is correct if they're not muteret bimkoma. So in a case where the inside chatzar did not make an Erev of themselves, so then they don't have any rights to carry anywhere, in that case, Drisus HaRegel on the outside chatzar would constitute a ruination of the privacy of that chutzer in terms of Shabbos, and no one would be allowed to use that outside chutzer. So in this case, we don't have to get into the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. We're talking about a case where it's a regel asura bimakoma. Please, please get these munachim straight, because the knowledge of the munachim will keep the mesechet in your mind. Always. All you need to remember is the terminology, and basically, you're right back in. So this regel is asura bimakoma. They did not make an Erev in the inside chotzer. They are therefore going to aser the outside chotzer through the other munach called drisat haregel. Okay. So, yeah.
Can you explain again when drisat regel is oseret?
According to Rabbi Akiva, it's always oseret. Meaning, it's always oseret if it's the only way for the inside people to get out to the street. It's not oseret just because you're a visitor and walking through. That's a fundamental principle, is that it's only indigenous populations that can aser an area, right? But once you are indigenous because you have an easement to walk through that outside area, then if you can't even carry in your own area, so then you're going to aser the entire both areas. Okay. And according to Rabbi Akiva, even if you were mutter to carry your own chatzar, but you didn't join up with the outside chatzar, and you're a regal muteret bimkoma, you still aser the outside chatzar unless you joined up with her in an Erev. Yeah? Okay. So in that case, it fits the bill for Shmuel's first rule. You are a potential partner for an Erev. You are going to aser the people if you don't make an Erev. And if you forgot to make an Erev, you could be Mevatel your Rishus and therefore allow them to carry. So you say, I give up on my rights of carrying in your Chatzar. According to Tosfos, according to Rashi, I give up my rights of even walking through your Chatzar for this Shabbos, the way Rashi understood it. But whatever the case is, I could be Mevatel Rishus and thereby allow you to carry. Very good. All right, so that case is a case that we're clear about, and we've talked about before. How about the second rule of Shmuel? The second rule of Shmuel is that I do have the potential of joining in an Erev, and if I don't join in the Erev, I will not aser you. So in that case, you cannot be Mavato. What would be the case there? Classic case. Two chatzerot, each one of which has an opening directly to the Rosh Hasharabim or to the Mavui, and I have a door between me and you, and as we know, if there's a door, then we make a choice. If we'd like to, we could be Ma'arev. As a matter of fact, even a window that's large enough, as we'll see later on. If we'd like to, we can be Ma'arev between the two of us and pass our cholents between the two of us. If we don't, then we don't. We don't ask on each other because we're all independent. So there, if you did not make the Erev and you or somebody forgot to join the Erev, he can't be Mevat Rishus. Rule two. Rule three is a little bit strange, says Rav Sheshes. Rule three says, if someone is going to aser on you, but you don't have an option of making an Erev, you can't use Bittul Rishus. Now, what the heck is that referring to? Where do you have someone who asers, but you don't have an option of making an Erev? Ah, a goy. So this must be referring to the case of the goy, says Rav Sheshes. Now, let me ask you something. Is the goy present, and it's before Shabbos? And I said, what's the problem? You certainly can make an Erev. All you needed to do was rent the Rishus from the goy, correct? So it can't be referring to that case. The only case that it can be referring to, is the case where the goy came on Shabbos. You rented the right from him on Shabbos. And now it says, well, if you don't have an Erev, it's not going to help you to rent because you're going to need to be Mevatel Rishus one to another. But that's exactly the case that Rabbi Yochanan said is A-OK. Because we rented the Rishus from the hotel owner who returned on Shabbos, and then we needed to be Mevatel the Rishus in order to be able to carry ourselves, the guy who was rented the Rishus. So if the principle excludes the ability to be Mevatel Rishus in that case, what good was it to rent, the way Rabbi Yochanan was saying, to rent the Rishus from the guy when he reopens the office on Shabbos? It's not going to do me any good. Because we have a number of different Jews here who don't have a workable Erev, and the only way we'd be able to get the cholent out to the parking lot is if we were able to be Mevatel Rishus, but Shmuel says you cannot be Mevatel Rishus in exactly that case. What are you making up that you don't understand what's bothering him? Obviously, this is very troublesome. Okay, before we get to the answer, we have this interesting and something that happens rather often, what has this little interlude where Rabbi Yosef overhears something and says, what the heck? I never heard this. How come everybody's talking about something that I should know? And in the end, and always in these cases, because since Rabbi Yosef had taken ill and was unable to review his learning, he forgot a lot of things. So in all of those cases, Abaye says to him, Rabbi, you know, you taught it to us and we learned it from you. Of course you know it. And he would remind him. So this is another one of these cases. So this one is more interesting than most because when he's reminded, this time Rabbi Yosef says, what? I said that? How could I have said that? So, okay, so it's a cute case. But anyway, what happens over here is that Rabbi Yosef said, I never heard of such a thing. That if you live in a chatzar, you're in the inside chatzar, the first case, the Rav Sheshes explained, according to Shmuel, if you live in an inside chatzar and you're going to answer the outside chatzar, that then if you didn't make the Erev, you can be Mevatel Rishus. I never heard of such a thing. Says Abaye, what do you mean? You never heard of such a thing? You taught it to us. How did you teach it to us? So this is an extension of two additional rules that Shmuel gave, which need to fit in with his other rules. Okay, so this, what Shmuel spoke about, was actually a machlokas, as we'll see, between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. But the case was like this. Shmuel says, you cannot be Mevatel rights from one chatzar to another chatzar. So in other words, the entire halacha of Bittul is only where you didn't have enough space on your own. If you already had your own chatzar, Why would we institute the din of bitul rishus, which is fundamentally an emergency measure? What's the emergency? You live the whole time in one chatzar, you live in one chatzar. And that's what it was that Shmuel said. And the second thing that he said was that in the case that you have a churva between two homes, you cannot be mevatel rishus to somebody else that you didn't make an eruv with to enable them to bring out the kids' toys into the churva. It's also not an emergency. So these are two related rules. Now, you, Rav Yosef, said to us, now hold on a second. When Shmuel said you can't be mevatel rishus from one chatzar to another, he was talking about where you've got two chatzeros that are independent with a door to the street and a door between them. Over there, obviously, it's never an emergency, so you stick to your own chatzar. But in a case where one chatzar is inside the other chatzar, you said, and that's exactly what Rav Shesha said over here, and you're going crazy, you're saying, what, how is that possible? You were the one who explained it that way. That the general rule of Shmuel, that you cannot be mevatel rishus from one chatzar to another, is only from one independent chatzar to another independent chatzar. But where one of the chatzeros, namely the outside chatzar, is going to be asered because of the fact that you walk through that chatzar, then that's covered by Shmuel's original rule, that where people asser on each other, and they have abilities, theoretical abilities, to make an eruv, and somebody messed up and didn't, you can be mevatel rishus, you see? So it was your teachings. We learned it from you. But you said in the case where one chatzar is zulif nimizu, of course, since they asser the people on the outside chatzar, they can also be mevatel rishus. So Rabbi Yossi said, what? I said that? How could I have said that? That's crazy. I never would have said such a thing in the name of Shmuel, because I remember that there's another din that Shmuel said. And this is now the sixth thing that we're quoting from Shmuel. Remember, we have our first three rules. Then we have the additional two rules. You can't be mevata from one chatzit to another or from the chatzit to the churva. That's five. And now we have the sixth statement. And that is, Shmuel's statement is, if you want to find a kula in the dinim of Erevin, it has to match the language of the Mishnah. Now, I understand that, says Rabbi Yosef, to mean the opposite of what you just said. Because if you take a look at the upcoming Mishnah that's going to be explaining the din of bitul rishus, that fundamental statement in which all of the din of bitul rishus comes from is a Mishnah that reads like this. Can you read that carefully to me, please? Anche chotzer. Did it say anything about anche chatzerot? No. So therefore, what Shmuel's rule was telling me was, you can't make up a rule that allows a person in one chotzer to be mevatel to another chotzer because it doesn't fit the language of the Mishnah that says anche chotzer. So how the heck could I have said that? You guys must be confused. It would not have made sense for me to say that Shmuel said something that violated his own rule. I caught you this time trying to put things in my brain and creating memories that didn't happen. Aha! Says to buy it, him. That rule you also explained in a way that made it consistent with what we told you said before, you see. Let me tell you what you said to us about that rule. Boy, you see how many memories you can implant? You can just keep going back and back and back, right? My gosh. Are you sure that anything you remember is you? Uh-huh. These are deep problems. And I mention it to, who was it? Okay, it's not here. So. All right. So continuing on, here's how you explained it to us. You explained the language of Shmuel saying it's got to match the Lashon of the Mishnah. It's not the Lashon of a Mishnah, any Mishnah. It's the Lashon of a particular Mishnah. And you said that's what it was referring to. It was referring to the Mishnah that says, Hamavui lechatzerot kechatzer levatim. That fundamental principle, the interrelationship of a mavui to the chatzerot in the mavui, is equivalent to the relationship of the chatzer to the houses in the chatzer. And you said from there we can derive the fact that there is a minimal definition of a mavui, that it has to have chatzerot, a minimal two chatzerot, that have in them batim. Okay, and the Mishnah meant exactly what it said, and everything is fine. Okay, so then everything works out. Now, getting back to this new issue, And it turns out that there is a machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. We just quoted Shmuel. Shmuel said you cannot be mevatel rishus from one chotzer to another, and you cannot be mevatel rishus to bring out the kids' toys in a churva, right? Rabbi Yochanan, we didn't learn this before, but it happens to be Rabbi Yochanan argues about both of those rules. He says you can be mevatel from one chotzer to another, and you can be mevatel in order to be able to use a churva. And Rabbi Yochanan, therefore, does not hold that the din of bittul rishus is an emergency. He holds that the din of bittul rishus is an extension. And therefore, we needed to learn both of these halachas, said the Gemara, because even though it sounds the same, do you actually utilize bittul rishus for non-emergency situations, such as bringing the toys out of the chutz, to the churva, or such as extending your chalent into the next guy's chutzer? So why did we have to mention two separate cases? Says the Gemara, because they're very different. In a case where everybody has got the use of a chatzer on Shabbos, side by side, independent chatzeres, well, of course, Chachomi would never have made a takona. In an emergency, you can always bring your cholent into the next door chatzer. What's the emergency? You have your own chatzer. You manage to live in your own chatzer. Why do you need to have a picnic in the next door chatzer? So there Shmuel was saying, okay, you know, since you anyway have your own chutzah, but a churva, there's only one churva. I mean, if you're not going to be able to bring the kids' toys into the churva, we can't say, well, you have a chutzah. I mean, a chutzah isn't a churva. It's much more fun to play in the churva, right? So maybe over there, Shmuel would have agreed that that's sort of an emergency, you know? So maybe it would have been made. And on the other hand, if Rabbi Yochanan would have said that, well, in a case of a churva, of course, how are you going to bring the kids' toys out to the churva? But that doesn't mean you would have said in a case where you've got your own chutzner, you always lived in your own chutzner, that you can extend it even into having a cholent in the next door chutzner. Kamashmalan, that it is absolute. Shmuel holds it's only a din in emergency chutzner usage. And Rabbi Yochanan holds it's a din in an extension of your Shabbos needs, not emergency. So far, therefore, in both cases, we have a machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. This is a side point, okay? Now, let's review again. Abaya claimed that Shmuel's case, where Shmuel said, remember, we had something that seemed a little bit contradictory. Right? Because on the one hand, Shmuel has said, you can't be mevatel rishus from one chatzer to another chatzer. And we thought that that means under any and all circumstances. And on the other hand, Shmuel said that in a case where you answer on people, which could happen from one chatzer to another if one is inside and the other is outside, and you have to have an easement through the outside chatzer, that then you can be mevatel rishus. So Abaya explained that, listen, like you, Rabbi Yosef, taught us, the case where Shmuel said you cannot be mevatel rishus from one chatzer to another means two independent chatzeras, which are called one next to the other. But if you have one inside the other, where they're obviously not independent because there's no way for me to get to the street unless I walk through your chatzer, in that case, it fits Shmuel's first rule, which is that any case where I can aser and I have access to an erev if I wanted to and I forgot, I can be mevatel. That's what Abaya says. It turns out not everybody agrees to that. Rava says, no. The ruling of Shmuel that you cannot be mevatel from one chutz to another might, not in all cases, but I believe that you're being insufficiently careful about how you're explaining this rule, Abaya. It's not true that in any case where a chutzer is inside of another chutzer, that ipso facto you're considered to be mevatel, you're able, because of the fact that you would have answered them, you also can be mevatel rishus. Things are much more complicated than that. Now, here it turns out that we get to four sub-principles that Rava introduces that make us understand the complexities of the interrelationship of bittul rishus to the need for the bittul rishus. So on the surface, we kept things very simple. You've got one chatzer inside the other chatzer, and it turns out that Shmuel allowed you under all circumstances, if you forgot to make the erev between you, you could always use bittul rishus. Now. You could always use bittul rishus. Them's fighting words, says Rava, because I want to ask you two questions. And the two questions end up creating four cases. Where is the Erev? Is the joint Erev, was it because the inside people brought their Erev out and placed it in the outside Chatzar? That's one way it could have worked. And that would mean that the Erev is in the outside Chatzar. Why do I think that's important? Because, my dear, if you are not able to be Mevatel Rishus to the place where the Erev is, then what good is being Mevatel Rishus, as I'm going to explain to you? Or is the Erev in the inside Chatzar, because the people that were outside, they effectuated the Erev by putting their Erev into the inside Chatzar? Both of those would be equally effective. That's my first question to you. Once you tell me where the Erev is, I've got another question for you. Who exactly forgot to join the Erev? Someone in the outside Chatzar or someone in the inside Chatzar? Which leads us to four different cases, correct? The first two cases are Natnu Eruvan b'chitzona. So we put the Erev in the outside. What are the two cases in that? A, somebody from the inside had forgotten to join the Erev. B, somebody from the outside had forgotten to join the Erev. Okay? The next two cases, they put the Erev in the inside. In case one, somebody from the inside had forgotten. In case two, somebody from the outside had forgotten. Now, let me explain to you that these cases are entirely different, with completely different halachas, with complex reasoning in each one of the cases, which will allow you to fully grasp the idea of Bittul Rishus. So in the event that the Erev was in the outside one, then I don't care who forgot, whether it was someone from the inside who forgot to join and someone from the outside who forgot to join. There's nothing to do. They are both going to be usher, and I'll explain to you why. And you cannot, even if the guy who forgot to join is Mevatel Rishus, it's not going to do any good if the Erev is in the outside Chatzar. On the other hand, if the Erev is inside Chatzar and somebody from the inside forgot, then again, it won't help for the guy from the inside to be Mevatel Rishus. The place, however, where it does make a difference is where the Erev was actually in the inside, but one of the outside people, he forgot, and he wants to be Mevatel his Rishus. So over there, the halacha is, if he is Mevatel Rishus, the guy from the outside Chatzar, then the people on the inside are allowed to carry. But even though he was Mevatel Rishus, the people on the outside will not be allowed to carry. Now, let me explain to you why I came up with such a complicated analysis. But it turns out that the statement that Abaya was making, that Shmuel allows Bittul from one Chatzar to another Chatzar, as if it's very simple, and in any case, if it's one Chatzar inside the other Chatzar, you can always use Bittul, that's bull. It's not true. There's one case out of four that you can use Bittul, and it's only going to help the inside Chatzar. It's not going to help the outside Chatzar. I'm going to go through each case, says Rava, and I'm going to explain to you why you are innocents abroad. So now, to get you a real understanding of what's happening over here and the complexities of it, let me go through the cases with you one by one, okay? Let's take the first case. All right. So they put the Erev in the outside Chatzar. That means that the inside Chatzar made a nice Erev. One of the guys picks up the Erev. Remember we said before, he can act as a shliach for everybody. Takes the Erev, puts it into one of the homes in the outside Chatzar. So then I said, if anybody forgets, I don't care if it's a person who lives in the outside Chatzar, a person who lives in the inside Chatzar, he forgot to join the Erev, and you, Abaya, said, okay, what's the problem? You can always be Mevatel Rishus, even if it's from one Chatzar to another. Not true. Okay, let me explain to you why it's not true. Who exactly is he going to Mevatel his Rishus to? Let's take the case, the first case. The guy that forgot was the guy from an inside, the inside Chatzar, all right? He is now going to be very nice about his, oh my gosh, guys, I forgot. I'm Mevatel my Rishus to you. To whom should he give it his Rishus? Should he give it to the people of his Chatzar and say to everybody in the inside Chatzar that I'm giving you the rights to my Rishus, okay? That would not help. Why would it not help? because the Erev isn't there. You can't give your rights to a Chatzer which doesn't have an Erev there. So Leta Le'eruvayu Gabayu, he doesn't have, they have one single Erev, right? And that single Erev makes them into one Diyur. So the moment that I give my rights only to the people in my own Chatzer, the people from the outside Chatzer who have the Erev, they say, well, wait a minute over here. It's all very nice that you were Mavati Rishus to everyone in your own Chatzer, but that's not going to help us. The only way that it would help us is if somehow or other we're Mavatel, as we'll see later on, we can do that. We people in the inside Chatzer, we say, look, gentlemen, we're really sorry we put the Erev into your Rishus because it was a big mistake, because now we'd like to cut ourselves off, close the door, and at least we'll be able to have the cholent in our own chatzer. I mean, putting the cholent in your, the Erev in your chatzer has really messed us up, because now none of us can carry, because you guys are ossering on us now because of the fact that you're part of our chatzer. And this guy's only being mevatel his rishus to us. But since I put my Erev into your chatzer, I can't possibly close the door and say, I'm forgetting about you. If you forget about me, you forget about you, my friend, because we're the ones that have an Erev, not you. And therefore, it's not going to help. So you'll say, okay, fine, you're right, it's not going to help. So he can go ahead and he can be mevatel his rights to walk through the outside chatzer to the people in the outside chatzer. Why not? And that way, the outside chatzer is fine because nobody's going to be walking through and answering them. So that's what you're going to tell me, says Rava, right? Lifta livne achitzona. So then let him go ahead and be mevatel his rights to walk through the outer chatzer. That's not going to help, because I hold that this is included in Shmuel's din of ein bitul reshut michatzer lechatzer. According to this, Rava is fundamentally disassociating himself with Abaya's approach that you can do that in the event that you also answer. So I disagree with that. The problem over here is that there's another issue, which would be you would think, as Rashi explains, you would think that the people on the inside could all be Mevatel Rishus. Let's say they are all Mevatel Rishus to that person, and then that way, that guy is alone in the inside chatzer, and he doesn't have anybody else that asers on him, because they were all mevatel rishus to him, and then he would be regal at his muteres bimekoma, and he shouldn't aser, correct? But it's not true, for a very cute reason. Because once everybody was mevatel their rights to the inside chatzer, to that one guy, there's no longer an Erev between them. And then the Erev that they put into the outside chatzer is a fake. There's no Erev because it was only one guy living in the inside chatzer, according to the halacha. So that wouldn't help either. So there's basically nothing to do, says Rava, in that case. Fine. Now, let's take the second case. The second case was that someone from the outside chatzer forgot to join the Erev where the Erev is in the outside chatzer. Now you're going to say, let him be Mevatel Rishus. Thank you. Who's he going to be Mevatel Rishus to? Okay. Should he be Mevatel his Rishus to the people in the outside chatzer? That's not going to help them, because it's all very nice that there's only this guy that's there, but there's all the people from the inside chatzer that are still walking through. And whoa. How in the world can I go ahead and utilize this chatzer if all of these people are here? And the Erev is no longer going to work, because the Erev that we have between us is pasul, because this guy is not part of the Erev. So that would mean that the inside people can't carry, because their Erev is in the outside chatzer. Since they can't carry themselves, the fact that they are going to walk through the outside chatzer is a regel that's asura b'mekoma. And a regel that's asura b'mekoma will answer even according to the Rabbanan in the outside chatzer, says Rava. So therefore, that won't help you either, okay? So there's nothing to do. So you'll say, well, why not? Can't the guy on the outside be mevatel his rishus to the inside? No, because I understand Shmuel's statement as being absolutely definitive. Ein bitul rishus b'chatzer l'chatzer. Not the way you guys understand. That case doesn't help either. Let's take the third case, okay? They put the Erev in the third case in the inside Chotzer. So the outside people made an Erev, took their Erev, put it in the inside Chotzer. So let's take the first variation. One of the people inside forgot to join the Erev. All right, so shachach echad min ha-pnimiyot velo Erev. In this case, nothing's going to help you either, and I'll explain to you why. Both chatzers are going to be osur. Let's analyze it, says Rava. What's he supposed to do? Mevatel rishos. Okay, to whom exactly would you like him to be mevatel rishos? Should he be mevatel his rishos to the other people in his chatzer, namely the inside chatzer, and that should allow them to carry? No. How could that allow them to carry? After all, they made an Erev with all of the other people in the outside Chatzar, and the outside Chatzar, now that we're seeing the whole thing as one Chatzar, so because the Rishus of the person who forgot to join were only given to the people in the inside, there's no way that they, either of them can carry, because the Erev is one gigantic Erev. You're going to say, okay, so then let him be Mevat Rishus to everybody. You cannot do that. Because Shmuel says, Ein bitul rishus michatzer lechatzer. So there's no way to do that either. So none of this works according to Shmuel, as far as I'm concerned, says Rava. There's only one case where you could say it partially works. And that's the fourth case, in which the Erev was in the inside chatzer, and one of the outside people forgot to make the Erev. In that case, the inside can actually use their chatzer. Why? Because since the Erev is in the inside Rishus, the inside Chotzer can say, look, gentlemen, sorry, but we really don't want to have anything to do with you guys. Because this Chotzer is basically, if we close the door, it's our own area. Now, you'll say, but you let us in. You said that we could have an Erev with you. You took our Erev and you let it be put into a house in your chatzer. You can't just lock us out. Well, we can't just lock you out if things are working out. But if it turns out that by having let you in, you destroyed our Shabbos, because now because of you idiots, we idiots? Yes, it was one of you. And that's why it's only this case, you see. You can only slam the door on them when it's their fault. When it's not their fault, like in the previous case, you can't say to them, well, listen, it's only because we have the Erev with you that we're in trouble. So we don't want to be have to anything to do with you. What are you talking about? You're the guys who are the idiots. You're the guy who forgot. Your guys, one of your guys forgot to join the Erev is making the problem. You're slamming the door on us. Well, you're nuts. But in this case, they'll say, excuse me, the idiots all live in the outside chutzner, where you've got somebody dumb enough not to have joined. If we were made the mistake of thinking that you guys were human and that we put our Erev, you know, we accept your Erev so that we can all have a nice Shabbos together, then it turns out that you're really crazy and that you don't even join your own Erev. And because of that, we're going to mess up our Shabbos, slam. And that's the end of it. We close our door in your face, so to speak. And we disassociate ourselves from you. So, achda dasha, we slam the door. Umishtamsham, we'll use our own Erev. We don't need you. Forget about it. Goodbye. And in that case, the outside chotzer, of course, doesn't have an Erev anymore. And therefore, they are certainly usher. Okay. Sorry that it took so long, but you must admit it is quite complex. So, let's just review it again. We have three fundamental rules about bitul rishos of Shmuel. And we have two additional issues which are not so fundamental, which have to do, at least not according to Abaye, according to Rava, are very fundamental. So the three rules, according to Shmuel, was the question of whether you aser and have access to an Erev. There you could certainly be Mavato. Where you do not aser, but you have access to an Erev, where there you can't be Mavato Rishos, or where you do aser, but you don't have access to an Erev, in which case you also can't be Mevat Rishos. That's the case of the Goy. Then we add two additional rules, which according to Rav are fundamental. You cannot ever be Mevat from one Chatzar to another Chatzar. And that's what messed everything up, according to Rav here. And that is what's Nogea, our hotel, and so on and so forth. The other rule was that if you've got an additional area like a Churva, according to Shmuel, there's no Takana of a bitul rishus in those cases. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there is. And then there was this sixth item that Shmuel mentioned, which is that you have to fit the Lashon of the Mishnah, which turned out to be irrelevant the way that Rabbi Yosef explained. Then we got into the four cases of Rava, where Rava, as opposed to Abaye, took the ruling that you cannot be Mevatel Rishus from one Chatzah to another as an absolute, even in cases where you would Aser. And therefore, according to him, it is possible to discuss Bittul Rishus where there are two Chatzerot that are involved in a single Erev. Yes, but in a much more restricted fashion, because you will never be able to allow the Bittul Rishus from one to the other. And therefore, if a person in Chatzer A forgot, he's not going to be able to be Mevatel as Rishus to Chatzer B, which basically destroys the whole idea. And if a person in Chatzer B forgot, in this case the outside Chatzer, he can't be Mevatel Rishus to someone in Chatzer A, the inside Chatzer. The only place where it will work is where you retain the rights to, so to speak, slam the door in the face of the people that you made the Erev with. And the only case where you can do that is where it's all their fault, number one, because it's one of their guys that forgot to join the Erev, and B, where if you slam the door, you're still going to have the Erev in your own chatzer. So over there, you can say, we did not enter into an expanded relationship of Erevin with you guys just to find out that we can't even use our own chatzer. That's outrageous. So because of that, you can pull out, because it's essentially a mekachtos. I don't want to be with people that are going to aser me. I only made the Erev in order to be mater me. And so it turns out that the ideas are really, once you see them all, they're really simple, they're clear. We understand what the different shitas are over here, how much we can be making, the difference between Abaye Varava and the difference between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. So in terms of our essential question of whether the idea of Mogir, which is rental of Rishus, is the equivalent of a din of Bittul Rishus, or is it the equivalent of a din of Erev, which started this whole thing off, turns out that that is a simple question, of which there were four ramifications, three of which were lakula, and that we paskin that it's like an Erev, one of which is lachumra, and therefore we paskin that it's like Bittul Rishus and can be done even on Shabbos. And that basically wraps up the daf. It's a very complicated daf, but only until you see the simplicity and the clarity of its rules, which then makes it easy to digest, lots of fun for your breakfast coming up, I'm assuming, which will be done as a chazorah of the daf as you're enjoying your fried eggs. And have a wonderful, wonderful day. Kotev, everybody.